Welcome to Engineering Innovations, the official podcast of Purdue University's Elmore Family School of Electrical and Computer Engineering. I'm your host, Kristen Malavenda. I'm the Communications Director for the department. In each episode of Engineering Innovations, I'll sit down with faculty from Purdue ECE to talk about various. This episode, though, is going to be with Milan Kulkarni. He's the Michael and Catherine Burke head of the Elmore Family School of Electrical and Computer Engineering. And we're kind of going to do a state of the school thing. What's happened since the last time you were on the podcast? So, Milan, thanks so much for being here.
Well, thank you so much for having me.
Let's just start with what sticks out for you as one of the highlights of the past year.
Yeah, I mean, this is honestly, when I think about what sticks out as one of the highlights of the past year, it's kind of hard to choose just one. It's been a pretty momentous and transformative year for the Elmore Family School. I think last time that I was on this podcast, I had a much shorter title. I was interim head instead of the Michael and Catherine Burke head of the Elmore Family School of Electrical and Computer Engineering.
Yes.
I like to joke that I have the longest title in the College of Engineering.
That's probably right.
So that is one of the changes that happened. I don't think that that's one of the momentous changes, but I did step in as the full-time head this February. And I think the main change from my perspective is that I no longer could push decisions off to my successor because
right.
I was the successor.
You pushed it off to yourself.
And I had to start making those decisions.
Yeah.
But when I think about what has changed in the last year and what's been going on in the last year, it's pretty incredible. It's been a year of records for ECE in so many ways. We're at a record high, for example, in terms of our U.S. News graduate rankings.
Yep.
Our electrical engineering program is number 7 and our computer engineering program is number 8. It's the highest either of them have ever been, which is incredibly exciting. And of course, rankings are one of those things where we like to brag about them when they're good and we like to say they don't matter.
Right.
Otherwise, it's always nice to be able to brag about them.
Absolutely.
And so that's been really exciting. And I think that's just a testament to our phenomenal faculty and students and the research that we're doing. One of the pieces of evidence for that, which is kind of nitty gritty that you care about as a department head and maybe don't care about in other places, is our research activity, which you can kind of measure by how much money we're spending on equipment and graduate students and things like
right.
that for our research, has gone up by 30%
wow.
in the last year. It's really
that's impressive.
Fascinating to see that happen and to see us kind of grow into all of these emerging areas of research in ECE, artificial intelligence, semiconductors and chips,
right.
quantum computing. Actually, when you list those three things out, AI, semiconductors, quantum computing, that's one of the other exciting things that's been happening over the past year. So last year, and I don't remember if we had talked about this, but last year the university launched an initiative called Purdue Computes.
I think we touched on it last year, but couldn't get too kind of in detail
yeah.
about it.
So Purdue Computes is kind of an umbrella that the university is using to encompass a lot of what we are trying to do as an institution to invest in and grow into the frontiers of computing. And the university looks at this as having four pillars: quantum computing, artificial intelligence, and in particular, physical artificial intelligence,
yep.
AI as it touches the real world, computing research writ large, and then semiconductors and chips. And if you look at those four things, those are all things that ECE has a huge role to play in. I think that as we've been launching new research initiatives in quantum, as we've been launching new centers in semiconductors,
yep.
as we have been hiring like mad
yeah.
in artificial intelligence and computing, you can really see us kind of firing on all cylinders in that space. So that's been a really incredible thing over the last year. We brought 12 new faculty on.
That's incredible.
So it's a real time of growth on
so
that front.
When you bring in new faculty,
yeah.
how does that kind of change the dynamic of the department?
It's honestly one of the most exciting things that happens, right? We're a very large department. We're the largest department on campus. We're probably the largest EC department in the country. We've got about 120 faculty. But even then, bringing on 12 new faculty means that's 10% of your faculty changing in a year. And what's exciting about that is that when you are in the research game, for example, you're always thinking about what's happening in the frontiers
mm-hmm.
of the space. And one of the ways that you stay active and the way that you're able to push forward in those frontiers is by constantly bringing in new blood.
Right.
People with new ideas, people with new ways of seeing the world, people with new initiatives, new collaborations. And so every time that we bring in a new faculty member, that's a new opportunity for us to think about what's happening next
right.
in EC. And it's a new opportunity for our existing faculty to build those connections and grow into new research areas. And so it's really fascinating when we hire people that work in quantum photonics, when
yep.
we hire people that think about how large language models work, when we hire people that are pushing the frontiers of distributed networks and robotics. These are all people that we're bringing in this year. And those are both new opportunities for them because
mm-hmm.
they can come and plug into this amazing population and network that we have here in ECE,
yep.
but also phenomenal opportunities for existing faculty and students to try new things.
Right. Yeah, it's always good to have, like you said, a fresh perspective.
That's right.
And make you look at something maybe a way you didn't.
That's right.
Before. Well, speaking of things like semiconductors and AI, yeah. We have some new minors, correct, that students can participate in. Talk about those a little.
One of the things that we try to do for our students is be constantly thinking about how we can create educational opportunities that fit what they want, what the market wants, and what kind of the future of this country needs. And so we have created new minors and concentrations in artificial intelligence. So students who are not even ECE students that are in other departments that want to learn more about artificial intelligence can participate in those minors. We've created new minors and concentrations in semiconductors. Students from across campus that want to think about what's happening as the country pushes the frontiers of semiconductors through the CHIPS Act have this opportunity in ECE. At the graduate level, we've created new concentrations in our graduate programs that focus on artificial intelligence, semiconductors, wireless communications, other things that are where ECE is really at the frontier. And what's really exciting about those concentrations and credentials is that it helps guide students through what is honestly a pretty vast landscape of things that they could do to say, here's how you might want to think about constructing your time at Purdue in order to hit that career that you're going for.
Right.
Here's how you might want to think about organizing your plan of study. Here's how you might want to think about maybe adding on something that you didn't even think was a possibility.
Yeah.
Right. Say you're a mechanical engineering student and you say, wait a second, I can take these classes and get a credential in artificial intelligence. Like, why wouldn't I do that?
Yeah, right.
In this economy.
And also educationally, we've been expanding all of our online offerings as well.
So our online program, our online master's in ECE, has been around for several years. We're the number three ECE program in the country at that. It's pretty fantastic.
Yeah.
And it's as big as it's ever been. We've got 650 students in that space.
Wow.
And what's interesting when you look at that is a lot of those students view this program as an opportunity to upskill. Right. These are full-time employees.
Okay.
They're already working at companies around the country, around the world, and they are able to take these courses. They take one or two courses a semester and get themselves a master's in electrical and computer engineering. And it's been phenomenally successful. Our students love it. It's obviously very well regarded, and we're able to give the benefits of a Purdue education to a pretty broad slice of the country. But what's interesting is that an MS in ECE does not necessarily hit all of the points that somebody might want.
Right.
So we kind of looked at the landscape and said, what are some things that we could be doing that create other credentials, other master's degrees that would be exciting for people that are looking to add that skill to their portfolio? And so one thing that we did this year, actually under the umbrella of Purdue Computes, was a partnership with Computer Science, and we're launching a brand new online master's in software engineering.
Oh, wow. Great.
So this is now an opportunity for students to bring in those software engineering skills. We've created a bunch of new courses so that people that maybe don't even have a software background have an opportunity to move into this space.
Right.
And so that's a really exciting tool that a lot of people can add to their portfolio. I think one of the really exciting things about launching a master's in software engineering is that this is really the first time that computer science and ECE at Purdue have collaborated and worked together on a program like this. And I think it's really demonstrating the strength that we have because we have such a large and well-regarded ECE department, as well as such a large and well-regarded computer science department, that when we combine our forces, we can provide a credential like this and provide an opportunity like this.
So we've touched on it a couple of times, how the school is the largest here and it continues growing every semester. What challenges does that present to you, and how do you make sure that we can accommodate these students at the same level that we've always accommodated?
That's a really fascinating question. If you're watching this on video, you maybe see some of the gray hair that's here. And that is definitely one of the big challenges that we have, right? We are a top 10 department. How do we deliver that level of quality while we grow from 1,500 students to 3,000 students, which is, I think, where we'll get in the next few years? We're really pushing, we're looking at a number of things to do this. So one of the things that we're trying to do in order to take that group of students and give them the experience of being at a smaller school, even while they're at a school with 3,000 students, right? How do we make sure that those students get some amount of personalized attention, some amount of a tailored experience? And those concentrations that we've been introducing are part of that, which is that even though you're one of the 2,100 undergrads, you have the opportunity to construct a pretty tailored curriculum that hits on exactly the points that you want.
Right.
Right. Advisors now have the tools they need to provide exactly the right kind of guidance to these students as they go through that program. But it's more than just that. We've been pushing hard in creating a wider variety of project courses for students to take so that they have opportunities to build the skills that they'll need when they go out into the workforce or they go off to graduate school, work in small groups with students, and feel like they're part of a smaller program.
Right.
even though there are 2,100 of them.
Yeah.
These are some of the things that we're trying to do. We're constantly looking at how we can revamp our curriculum, how we can restructure our classes in order to give students the attention that they need.
Right.
We've been introducing a tremendous amount of additional supplemental instruction,
okay,
extra office hours, more teaching assistants, more training for our teaching assistants.
Right.
Right. All sorts of things to help address the fact that now there's lots of students in all of these classes.
And I think that kind of forming a smaller community is a challenge for Purdue in general, just because with 40,000 or whatever students we're up to now,
yeah,
it feels ginormous until you find your...
And I think the watchword that we're kind of going with here is, how do you make a large school feel small?
Right.
There's a tremendous number of advantages to being at a very large school, right? More faculty and more ideas than you might get at a smaller school. More opportunities to find the student club that works for you, to find the research advisor that works for you, to find the set of classes that work for you, because we can offer such a broad variety of options. But that kind of thing can be really overwhelming. And so what are the things that we can put in place to help people find that niche,
yeah,
and find that path, exactly like you said?
In terms of, I know we have two separate degrees that we give, electrical engineering and computer engineering.
Yeah.
It seems to me that there's much more overlap between the two as the years go on. Is there a chance that that would be one degree, or it's still, they're still different enough that they need two degrees?
That's a really good question. I think that, you know, gone are the days when somebody would be an electrical engineer and not need to know how to do at least a little bit of programming,
right,
for example. Gone are the days when somebody could be a computer engineer and not have to know at least a little bit about how probability and linear algebra and things like that work, mm-hmm, because that's what sits underneath all of artificial intelligence.
Right.
So you're right that there is a lot more overlap and a lot more convergence in some sense. But it is still the case that there are specializations and there are directions that you might want to push with an electrical engineering degree that look pretty distinct from what you,
okay,
might do as a computer engineer, or vice versa. So our approach here has really been, how do we give students as much flexibility as possible? How do we let them take the classes that they want through these concentrations or through other more flexible degree options to get the experience that they want in the courses that they need, while still making sure that, hey, if you're a computer engineer with that Purdue stamp of approval,
mm-hmm,
that says something about,
right,
your abilities in computer programmings and embedded systems and,
right,
computer systems and things like that. If you are a Purdue electrical engineer with that Purdue stamp of approval, that still says something about what you know about circuits and devices and power systems and things like that.
So another thing that's kind of been thrown in the mix here is the Indianapolis campus, which,
yeah,
is part of the Purdue West Lafayette campus. It's just an urban location. How has that changed what you're doing? And are you technically the department head for Indianapolis as well?
Yeah, this is one of those situations where Purdue is trying something that basically nobody's tried before. Indianapolis is Purdue West Lafayette, which sounds weird because it's also Indianapolis.
Right.
But it is a location of the Elmore Family School of Electrical and Computer Engineering operating in an urban setting.
Gotcha.
So we have our faculty, our students, our degree programs offered down there. So it doesn't mean that I'm the department head now of a location that's 60 miles away. I've been doing a little bit more driving than I used to,
right,
in order to accommodate that. But it's something that's really exciting because it's an opportunity to give a different experience to students while still getting that Purdue West Lafayette ECE,
right,
quality.
Yeah.
Right? Students that want an urban setting. Students that want more engagement with the industry because Indianapolis is a big city.
Right.
Right. Students that want opportunities, for example, to do a co-op or an internship while not actually having to leave their dorm because they can just do it right there. Right. These are things that we can't always offer in West Lafayette. And it's a brand new set of opportunities down in Indianapolis. And that's been really exciting. It's a little bit nerve-wracking because we're growing rapidly,
yeah,
down in Indianapolis. There's 160 freshman electrical computer engineers down in Indianapolis.
Wow.
Right. That's a population that they're exactly the same as our students, right? Same kinds of test scores, same, mm-hmm, kinds of GPAs, same kinds of ambitions,
right,
as our students up here. And so how do we make sure that we give them that same West Lafayette quality?
Yeah. Is it the same? Is there overlap in faculty too in both places?
Yeah. So the way that we're doing this is a couple of different things. We have some faculty who are based down there and teaching down there. We have some faculty who are actually from here in West Lafayette that commute down there and,
okay,
they'll teach. We've also been experimenting with what we're calling simulcast courses. So opportunities where a professor might be in West Lafayette and teaching simultaneously to students in Indianapolis and West Lafayette.
Gotcha.
Or the other way, a professor might be in Indianapolis,
yeah,
and teaching simultaneously to students in Indianapolis and West Lafayette. But the goal is it's the same courses, the same curriculum, the same quality.
Yeah.
Same professors, same students.
Just in a city. Another big thing for us has been facility improvements. And,
yeah,
what I'm thinking of specifically right now is the Brown Hall of electrical engineering, and we completely gutted and redid the first floor. What is that like, and how is that going to affect our students?
Yeah, so this was a huge capital project undertaken over the last year that I think is honestly going to transform both the undergraduate and graduate experience for our students. We took that first floor, which used to be a mix of administrative offices and undergraduate labs, and as you said, we gutted it. We ripped out basically everything, tore down to the studs, and then rebuilt it. Put in new windows, put in a lot more glass, and it's a lot more airy and well-lit and modern.
Yep.
Brand new undergraduate labs with the support of a lot of really phenomenal donors, including Kisei Technologies, that provides a lot of equipment for those labs, but also donors like Emmett Kilgariff, who've really supported ECE. Those new labs bring in a couple of different things. We redid all of the equipment in those labs, so it is state-of-the-art equipment for our undergraduate labs. But it's not just that. You earlier, we were talking about some of the challenges that come with scale.
Mm-hmm.
One of the challenges that comes with scale is that we have a lot more students going through our labs than we used to.
Yeah.
And that means that we need to be a lot more agile in how we use our lab space, right? Different labs grow and shrink over time. Different labs might require more or fewer benches over time. And mm-hmm. so this new space that we've created is a lot more flexible.
Okay.
There's ways of reshuffling the sizes of the labs as we need them in different semesters, as we need them as our student body shifts in terms of what their interests are. It gives us a lot more flexibility to give exactly the right kind of experience to our students.
Yeah, I've seen those like garage doors.
Yeah, they're basically little internal garage doors.
Where you can close or open depending on the size of the class.
The other thing that we've done with those labs is we've put in windows. And so the people that maybe went through our curriculum a few years ago mm-hmm. might remember many, many hours spent in pretty dark labs.
Yeah.
And that's no longer the case. Maybe that changes the atmosphere a little bit.
Well, I think it you used to walk into electrical engineering building and there was a lot of dark wood and it just felt partially like you were going into a time warp and partially just dark.
Yeah.
And going in there now, you walk in and it's bright and it just feels to me more alive than the other building.
And part of what we're doing to make that happen is we've created a bunch of new collaborative spaces for our students. So there's big open spaces with desks for students to team together, to work together on projects, for TAs to come out and help them on things. Again, part of trying to make a big school feel small, right?
Right.
Lots of opportunities for students to work with instructional staff. So we've created a lot of those spaces. We've created a brand new lounge space for students.
So nice.
So Eta Kappa Nu, which is, you know, has been threaded through the fabric of ECE for many, many decades, runs a lounge for our students where they can get coffee and snacks and things like that. And now there's more space there. There's more light there. There's more opportunity for students to mingle.
Right.
And again, feel like they're part of a smaller community, even as you are in a very large school.
Yeah.
The other thing that we've done is we took where the old administrative offices used to be
mm-hmm.
and ripped all of that out and put in new graduate computing labs.
Okay.
We talked earlier about how we're spending a lot, the frontiers of ECE involve a lot of computing these days, whether it be quantum computing or AI or chip design, things like that. So we rethought the way that we're doing graduate research space, where a lot of our graduate students are no longer doing the kind of research where they're hunched over a lab bench.
Okay.
Instead, they need access to computing resources, and they need the ability to sit and work at a nice, modern, large monitor to kind of work with modern design tools and things like that. And so we rethought what graduate research space is going to look like, and we've created several graduate computing research labs, which now house students from our computer engineering area, from our networking area, from our signal processing area, from our machine learning areas. So it's really exciting to see students make use of that space.
Have you gotten feedback from students? And if so, what are they saying?
I think that they really appreciate not being in a bunch of kind of small offices. They have just as much space as they used to, but now the labs are much more open and comfortable. There's couches that they can go rest on if they need to take a breather. They have more opportunities to collaborate with one another because they're not in like 2 and 3 person offices with no windows. Instead, they're in big, open, airy spaces with windows while still having their own personal space, right?
Yeah.
We're not trying to get rid of that. We want students to feel like this is their space that they have some ownership of, but we can also give them a lot more facilities and a lot more opportunities to work with one another.
So we talked about how things have changed so much in the past year. What's next? What's on the forefront in the coming year?
Yeah, that's a really good question. We're going to continue to grow. We're at 2,100 undergraduate students here in West Lafayette, 160 freshmen, and then 200 other ECE students in Indianapolis. At the graduate level, we're at about 1,450 graduate students. At the undergraduate level, I think we're going to keep growing. There's a big wave of phenomenal freshman engineers coming through West Lafayette right now, about 10% more than we've ever had before.
Yeah.
So they will start coming into EC, and I'm really excited to see what ideas they bring.
Mm-hmm.
As we talked about, we're launching these new programs and things like software engineering, which I think will bring a brand new population of students into our graduate programs, and it'll be really exciting to see what happens there. So I think there's a lot of exciting stuff happening kind of at the macro scale,
right,
in ECE. Watching students taking advantage of the new project space and the new lab space. The college is opening up new student project space, which a lot of our student groups, like our robotics groups, are really excited to take advantage of. So seeing that come to fruition. But we're also thinking about things at the micro scale.
Okay.
One of the things that we're starting to really think about is for students that have a bit more of an entrepreneurial mindset,
mm-hmm.
what kinds of programming can we give them to make them think about how they could start a company or how they could go work for some early stage startup?
Yes.
What are the opportunities that we can give to them? And so we're really excited about launching some new programs there where they can learn what it takes to start a company.
Yep.
They can get feedback from some of our own alumni who have walked down that road before.
Yep.
Where they have opportunities to build those connections and make those networks. And who knows, maybe a few years from now, we'll start seeing some unicorn startups coming from ECE students. I'm really excited about some of the smaller scale things that we're doing like that. I'm really excited about our opportunities to continue growing our research footprint in areas like computing and AI and ML and quantum. So we're looking for new faculty in those spaces. So again, we talked earlier about how whenever we bring in new faculty, new ideas, new blood. I'm really excited to see that continue. Looking forward, these next few years are really pivotal, I think, from a national perspective in terms of priorities the country has.
Okay.
If you think about where the United States has been investing over the last few years, lots of new investment in semiconductors and chip design.
Yep.
Lots of new investments in quantum computing. Lots of new investments and interest in artificial intelligence and machine learning.
Mm-hmm.
And these are all areas that over these last 20 or 30 minutes that we've talked about that ECE has a big footprint in. And so over the next 5 years, that push, I think, is going to be this massive wave that I'm really excited to see how that kind of pushes us forward. But not just how that wave pushes us forward, but how we can contribute to that wave. Right?
Right.
How we can grow that wave and how our students and our faculty can be the ones giving the push.
That makes sense. Well, we always want to be the leader, trying to be the first and the best and the only.
That's right.
In as many places that we can be. So, well, thanks so much for joining me today.
Yeah.
And I look forward to catching up next year and seeing what changes have happened in the meantime.
That sounds great.
Thanks so much for joining me today, and Millen Kulkarni, the Michael and Catherine Burke head of the Elmore Family School of Electrical and Computer Engineering. If you enjoyed today's episode, be sure to subscribe, rate, and leave a review. Your feedback will help us bring you more captivating conversations with our faculty. And to stay updated on upcoming episodes and to explore more about Purdue ECE, visit our website at purdue.edu/ECE. You can also find us on Facebook, X, Instagram, LinkedIn, YouTube, we're all the places. So you can check the show notes for more information and links to that information. We'll be back in a month with another episode.